Hey, good morning, everyone. We're going to go into another one of our messages today on Jesus asking. I hope that the Spirit of God has been speaking to you over the last number of weeks and that you've been able to apply some of the things that have been taught. There was a lady who was visiting a relative who was posted in Germany, and she just assumed that everybody in Germany spoke English. And so she boarded a train and went to hand her ticket for the train to the ticket officer. The ticket officer looked at her ticket and then began to speak to her in German. Now, she didn't speak German, and so she was just standing there nodding and smiling to everything he said. His hands were waving everywhere. He kind of looked like a windmill, just constantly doing this and speaking with passion and not being able to understand German. She just stood there and smiled and nodded her head. Finally, in frustration, the ticket officer punched her ticket, gave it to her, and then walked away. The lady was little curious as to what his issue was, and then went and sat down. Well, an American officer who happened to be on the train had been watching the entire thing, and he leaned over his seat and tapped the lady on the shoulder and said, "Ma'am, do you speak German?" And she said, "No, I don't speak any German." And he then turned to her and said, "Ah, that's why you didn't blink when he told you that you were on the wrong train." We are sympathetic to those who are uninformed. Someone can't understand without necessary education. We don't expect somebody who's never learned German to speak German or to understand German. We expect that understanding comes through some kind of information dispensing. I don't know if you can pull back in your memories, those of you who are a little bit older like myself, the days of high school, and some of you students who are here today, you may remember this, but there were certain courses that as you were choosing for the next year, you were not allowed to take until you took the prerequisite. I remember wanting to take certain courses and going, "Oh, I can't take grade 12 accounting until I've taken grade 10 math. I can't take this course until I've taken this course." There was a certain level of understanding, of dispensing of information, of education that was required before I could ever get to the next level of learning. I had to learn a certain amount in order to move on to the next place. Once education has taken place, though, we expect there to be comprehension. We evaluate not by someone being able to recite the information that's been given to them, but what they're actually able to do with that information. The application of the information that was given. I'll talk a little bit about that in just a few moments. It's the same thing is true with spiritual understanding. We only reveal what we truly know, what we truly understand, not by what we're able to recite, but by what's lived out in our life. I dare say that there are people who say that they have an understanding of certain elements of faith, but if you watch their actions, it would reveal to you that they may be able to recite to you the right things, but they actually don't have an understanding because it's not revealed through their life actions. There are many Christians who read their Bible every day, who come to church every single Sunday and have heard many, many messages, who, friends, if you were to look into their life, if you were to examine the application of the dispensed information, it would be revealed to you that they lack understanding. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to simply recite stuff. He wants it to be in us and lived out through us. Which brings us to Mark chapter 8. Verses 17 to 21. If you have your Bibles on your phone or your iPad or you're online and you want to just open them up, or you can check on the screen, we're going to read this passage, Mark chapter 8, verses 17 to 21. It says, "Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, 'Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?' 12, they replied. 'And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?' They answered, 7. He said to them, 'Do you still not understand?'" Do you still not understand? Which is going to be the basis of this message. So here's the background. In this chapter, in Mark chapter 8, There are a number of things that take place. Jesus has just fed the 4,000 with a small lunch. Then immediately after he's done this incredible miracle, the Pharisees or the religious leaders of the day come to him and they say, hey, could you show us a sign? I mean, he's just performed this incredible miracle. And now they're demanding that Jesus would show them a sign, showing their unbelief towards Jesus. Then we have this story that we've just read, this conversation where Jesus is asking a series of questions and he's confronting the disciples on their understanding of what he's been dispensing to them. And then shortly after this, there's a story of Jesus healing a man who's blind in two parts. And I shared a few weeks ago that really that picture, many historians say that the healing that took place with a blind man in two stages really is revealing something about the people around Jesus who are starting to understand in stages, partially like the man seeing people that look like trees, partially understanding, and then when there's full clarity, fully understanding. And so this is the context. And as they've just come out of feeding the 4,000, they come onto the shore and they only have one loaf of bread. And Jesus starts to talk to them about the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He's trying to warn them about what he's just encountered. These Pharisees who are questioning Jesus' abilities. Hey, show us a sign. The disciples are a little thick in the head in this moment, and they start to get into debate, and the Greek actually reveals that there's this conversation going back and forth. There's this confusion amongst them, and they're having this debate, and what's happening is they're saying, hey, Jesus must be upset that we've only got one loaf of bread. I mean, we just fed thousands, and there was all that bread, and we were so dumb that we only brought one loaf. He's got to be so angry with us. How are we going to eat dinner? How are we going to survive the day with only one loaf of bread? And Jesus looks at them and says, do you still not understand? Like, you've been with me for all this time. You're the faithful followers of Christ. You've been hanging out in church all these years, and you still don't understand. Jesus expected the disciples to have a greater understanding at this point. And so in a series of questions that follow this question, Jesus helps us identify how we can live with a greater understanding in our spiritual lives. So here's the first thing that we need to understand. I must refocus. I must refocus. Question Jesus asks is this. Are your hearts hardened? Are your hearts hardened? Now, it seems like this is a ridiculous question. I mean, most of the time, this question is given towards people who are opposed to Jesus, who really don't want to have anything to do with God. Their hearts are just completely hardened to the work of God. And Jesus is asking his closest disciples, are your hearts hardened? But this isn't about their posture towards him. This is about what they're doing with his teachings. Friends, can I tell you something? You can be in the church your entire life and have a heart towards God, but have hardened hearts towards his teachings. I know that sounds really ridiculous, but I'm going to show you this in just a second. Let me say it one more time. You can have a soft heart towards God, but be hardened your hearts toward his teachings. His teachings. You see, in order to understand what Jesus is saying, you've got to understand the process of hardening. I talked to you last week about my Pop Hillier. My Pop Hillier was a carpenter. And I'll never forget as a little boy sitting on my pop's lap, and he would put a quarter in his hand and ask me if I wanted it. And of course, you know, you're a kid, 25 cents, you think you can buy the world with 25 cents. And I'd reach my hand into his hand, and he'd pull it away right away. And I'd be frustrated, and he would have this little smile on his face because he was trying to torment me, I think. I think that's probably where I got it from. I torment my family all the time. And so then I'd try again, and he'd pull it away. But I noticed something. I noticed that my pop's hands were very calloused. The skin wasn't soft. It wasn't like my nan's hands. It was very hard and very callous. You see, my pop was a carpenter. And he, over time, had built up very tough hands. In fact, my dad told me that there were times that he watched my pop go to put a nail into the wood and not know where he misplaced his hammer, and he would just look at it and then slam his hand down and nail the nail into the wood with his hands. I don't think my dad was lying to me, but my pop had strong arms, strong hands, and would use the calloused hands to push the nail. Now, when he first began carpentry, his very first day, his hands weren't like that. His hands were soft as anybody else's. They were very sensitive because he hadn't built up the calluses that come about through carpentry. And so the first day of work, he would have felt all the pressure that whatever he was working on, carrying boards and hammers and saws and nails, carrying everything, he would have felt all the pressure. And by the end of the day, everything he had experienced would have sent pain to his hands. His hands would have been aching that day. And he could have focused on the pain. But the problem is if he focused on the pain, he would have to stop doing his work. And so he had to shift his focus from what he was feeling to the task at hand. He did it day after day after day. And eventually, that soft hand that felt a lot began to grow dead skin on it, began to get very calloused. So there was a point that whenever he would pick up something or he would use his hands, what used to cause him pain, what used to bring feeling to his hands, he no longer felt because of the callousness of his hands. And this is what Jesus is teaching. He's saying that there are times that we come to church. There are times that we are exposed to his teachings. Whether we open our scriptures, open the Bible, or we come into a setting like this, or we watch something on our computers, or wherever it may be, and the teachings have the ability to cause something in our hearts to feel that we should change. The teachings are so incredible, the words of Christ, that we feel it. But what happens is we move our attention elsewhere to thinking about what the day ahead is going to be like. When is the pastor going to be done preaching? What do I have before me to do before I go to work tomorrow? And our minds begin to focus and we ignore what our hearts are feeling. And maybe we even look towards somebody else and go, man, that's a good word for them. And then what happens is over time, we keep doing that. And rather than allowing the teachings of Jesus to penetrate our hearts, that when we feel it, we stop and go, what is, and focus on what we're feeling. Focus on what the Spirit's trying to say in the middle of a sermon like this. Focus on what the Spirit's trying to say as we're reading our Bible. Rather than allowing us to feel what the Spirit is trying to do inside of us, we shift our minds elsewhere, eventually hardening our hearts so that, friends, this is the truth in North American church, that you can go to church every single Sunday of the year and never let the teachings of Jesus transform who you are because of the hardness of your heart, even though you love Jesus. You see, if it's going to transform your heart, it has to get past the callousness, and you have to feel it, and you have to pause, and you have to say, hey, what is the Spirit trying to say to me today? When you come to church, you don't just check off, that was a good service. You go, what is the Spirit trying to say to me through this teaching? What needs to change in my life? I feel it. I feel it. You can hear the teaching, but never let it impact you because we shift our focus elsewhere. I remember in Bible college, I was taking Pentecostal history. My goal was simply to get good marks in Bible college. I know that sounds awful. You think you go there to be shaped for ministry, and there was a part of that, but my ultimate goal is I wanted to get great marks. I wanted to graduate with highest honors. And so I needed just to get the information onto my paper so that I could be prepared for the exam and I could dispense information back. And so every class with Gary Milley, I would just listen to what he said, write down notes to make sure I had everything I needed for the exam. I didn't really pay much attention to what he was teaching me. I didn't really pay attention to how Pentecostal history was applicable to my life or to my future ministry. I just wanted to write the exam. I just wanted to reiterate what he told me. I got to the end of the course, now it was exam time, and I'll never forget as I started to go through my notes. I wanted to make sure that I could reiterate everything that he had dispensed to me. And as I start to review it, I start to feel the nudge in my heart about some of the things he taught. I remember sitting in a study, Carol, and I paused and I pushed back from the chair or from the table. And I thought, this stuff's really good. This stuff actually will impact me as a pastor. This stuff will actually impact who I am as a Christian. This is stuff that I haven't been paying attention to. I feel it, and it's speaking to who I am. I remember getting into my exam, and I finished writing everything that I needed to write and answered all the questions. And on the back of the paper, I wrote a little letter to my professor, and I said, Dr. Milley, I just want to apologize for not being more engaged in the class. I came to just get the information for the exam, but as I've read through this and focused on what you were teaching, I realized that it can have a huge application for my life and for my ministry. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for everything you've done. You see, I had to let it touch my heart. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 says, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. We must constantly ask, how is what I'm reading, how is what I'm hearing changing my heart for action? Friends, don't just focus on the words. Don't just focus on the text. Allow your focus to be what the Spirit is trying to put into your heart for transformation. Never come to church just to hear a message, but feel the message. Feel what the Spirit's saying. Never read your Bible to just read it, but feel what the Scripture is saying to you. It's true understanding. So I must refocus. Number two, I must reconsider. Jesus says, do you have eyes but fail to see? Ears but fail to hear? And Jesus is using familiar language that we see in many parts of Scripture. We see him saying in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. You see, what he's saying is that there would be people who would have eyes and ears to notice the natural, and they would consider it from a natural perspective. But Jesus wants them to reconsider what's being communicated from a spiritual view. This is so important. Ears and eyes will observe the natural, but Christians must reconsider circumstances and teachings from a spiritual view. Jesus' teaching on the Pharisees and the leavened bread had nothing to do with the physical bread, as the disciples thought. The disciples are looking at the loaf and they think this is what he's talking about. But he is trying to teach them something spiritual, that the unbelief of the Pharisees, it will work its way into your life if you let it. And so he uses the bread metaphor. Friends, I want to tell you that too often we view what God is trying to teach us from the natural view, from the natural level. I read this little story this week about a man who was in a parking lot that was just full. I mean, he was trying to go shopping. The parking lot's full. And so he doesn't know what to do, and he's getting frustrated, and he gets desperate. And so he decides to pray. He says, God, listen, if you could open up a parking spot, I promise you that I will start attending church every single Sunday. And God, if you open up a parking spot, then I promise you I'll stop drinking the way I've been drinking. Just as he finishes the prayer, a parking spot opens up, and he quickly prays, oh, never mind, God, one just opened up. That's what we do sometimes, is that we engage in the natural more than the supernatural. We engage in the natural, and we think that, oh, that's just a natural thing, rather than recognizing that God's actually trying to teach us something, trying to get our attention. To truly understand, we've got to reconsider from a spiritual perspective. There's a story in the Gospels. There's this man with a demon-possessed son. I mean, this son is acting crazy, and he's more than just a misbehaved boy. He's foaming at the mouth, and his eyes are rolling back in his head. I'm not sure everything that's taking place, but I can only imagine. And he's so desperate, and so he comes pursuing Jesus and the disciples because he hears they're in the city. Jesus seems to be busy with some people, and so he goes to the disciples, and he's like, hey, guys, I need your help. I'm desperate. My son is demon-possessed. Could you pray for him? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've got this. And I can just imagine the conversation, and we don't get the insights, but I can imagine it because of the outcome. The disciples are like, you know what? We've seen Jesus pray before. We've seen him with this type of situation before. We know the way he does it. We know that he kind of looks at them and he directly does this. And we know the words that he says. We've paid attention with our eyes. And we've heard with our ears. And so we're just going to imitate what Jesus has done. And so they do everything that they've seen and everything they heard. And you know what happens? Nothing. Absolute ineffectiveness of the disciples. And they try it again and try it again. They do the formula. They do everything they've seen, everything they've heard, everything in the natural. And nothing happens. And so the man comes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, could you help? Because your disciples are like, they probably need performance review. You know, like things are not going well. They can't make this happen. And Jesus prays for the boy and he gets completely set free. The disciples come over to him and like, Jesus, we don't understand. We did everything you taught us. We watched with our eyes. We heard with our ears. We did everything. And Jesus at that moment says, hey, boys, you need to reconsider the picture. You think it's about the words? You think it's about the right actions? You think it's about the natural stuff? This type of thing only comes by prayer and fasting. I want you to reconsider that the success of your ministry is not by doing what the successful people do. It's about something that's spiritual. It's about something that's spiritual. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writes, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That we would know not just with our eyes, that we would know not just with our ears, but we would understand and reconsider that there are things that God's trying to teach us that we can't understand with our eyes and our ears, that we need to look at from a spiritual perspective. Friends, I want you to know that some of the things that are going on in your life, God's trying to teach you something, but you may just be looking at it from a natural perspective with your eyes and with your ears. And God's saying, no, let the spirit of revelation come and bring you deeper understanding that this is not a natural thing, that I'm actually trying to teach you something spiritually. In every one of your circumstances, when the eyes and the ears don't bring an understanding that makes sense, then you better ask God what he's trying to teach you from a different perspective. To reconsider. We must reconsider beyond what we see and hear in the natural. Lastly, I must recall. Don't you remember? This is what Jesus says to them. Hey, boys, don't you remember? Don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000? Yeah, Jesus, we remember that. And don't you remember the feeding of the 4,000? Yeah, Jesus, we remember that. I mean, was he asking them, like, if they had bad memories? I mean, the one miracle just took place. Did he really think that they had forgot from just a few moments ago about this audacious miracle taking place? The question is not about memory. It's about recall. This is important. It's not about whether or not they can remember something. It's about the recall. You see, to remember means to be mindful, to call to mind. To truly understand, we must recall what Jesus has already taught us through his words and actions. You see, the disciples should have known that Jesus was not upset that they had one loaf of bread. I mean, he just fed 4,000 people with just a small lunch. He just fed 5,000 people with a small lunch. So do you think he was really upset that there was only a loaf of bread? Boys, what are we going to do now? We've only got a loaf of bread. Oh, this one's bigger than I can imagine. No, he's God. He's just performed miracles. He's wanting them to recall what he's already taught them, that he's able to step into all kinds of impossibilities and make them possible. And if they would recall that, it will help them with what he's trying to get them to understand in the moment. When I first began school, just like every one of you, my teacher started to teach us the basics of math. It started off with numbers. We had to learn numbers, and so we learned to count to 10. And then that was the foundation for us going to double digits, 11 to 20, 20 to 30, and so on and so on. We learned numbers. Then our teachers started to teach us the basics, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Now that stuff pretty much carried us through to middle school. And somewhere in middle school, we took the numbers that had been the foundation, and then the basics of math that had been added to that. And then we added some more things such as brackets and exponents. And then as I got into high school, our teachers started to add to that the elements of algebra and formulas and equations. Math was my specialty in high school. It's the thing that I did really well in, and I absolutely not love numbers. It's probably why I love budget day here at the church. I know that's sick, isn't it? But I love numbers. When I was in grade 9 all the way through to grade 13, I would compete in North American math contests. Our teachers would prepare us, and these would be tests of about, I don't know, 25 questions, and we would compete with math students from all over North America. And friends, I remember sitting down at some of these math contests, especially in grade 9 and 10, because you're competing with grade 12s and grade 13s. And there were times where I would look at the questions and I would get overwhelmed. I didn't understand what was being asked. I didn't understand how I was going to figure out this question. I was beyond my comprehension. And then I would remember the words of my teacher. My teacher would always preface by saying this: when you do these complicated math questions on this contest, you need to remember that the question can be solved with things that you already know, that you've already learned the formulas and equations and basics of math that will help you do the question. You just need to recall the right formulas, the right mathematical elements, the right things that are applied to this. And so there would be this stress, and I'd pause. I don't understand. I can't comprehend this question. Oh, yeah. I actually know how to do this because of what I've already been taught. What principles have I learned for this? And I would recall the basics, and I would build upon that and be able to answer the questions. You see, similarly, in our lives, there are difficult moments that we face. And we find ourselves in places that we just don't understand. And we get frustrated with God, and we go, God, this is difficult. This is a difficult question in my life. This is a difficult situation. I don't understand what you're trying to say. And in those moments, God says to us, the reason why you don't understand is because you're not recalling what I've already taught you. Because if you will pull something that I've taught you and allow that to be the foundation for this moment, it will be easier to see what I'm trying to teach you. Disciples, you know that I've already taught you that I can provide for food, so that's not it. And if you can see that, you'll know that there's something greater. What just happened? We were just with the Pharisees. And what were they speaking? Unbelief. That's what it's about. Go back in your memory bank. Pull out the foundations of what I've laid for you. Build upon that, and then you'll have greater understanding. I know I've shared this. I won't go into all the details, but I remember being asked to do a retreat years ago. One of my buddies, he was at an independent church, and he said to me, hey, I want you to come. You're a great communicator, except I don't want you to do anything Pentecostal. I just want you to use your communication skills, but nothing Pentecostal, no altar calls, no gifts of the Spirit, nothing like that. So I go, all right. I figured I could do it, and I figured out. So first night seemed to be fairly easy. Next morning, though, I preached, and it was terrible because it was so good, but that I wanted to shift into Pentecostal mode. I wanted to start to share what God was saying, and I wanted to give an altar call. I mean, that was the best part of every retreat I ever did. I'm not even sure I was a good communicator. I just knew that God would move. And so I finished the Saturday morning, and I remember going back to my room and texting my buddy and just saying, hey, man, this is so frustrating. I don't know how God's going to do anything, and I'm being limited. And I remember leaders coming to me and talking to me. And as I was praying that afternoon, the Holy Spirit started to talk to me. He says, Jeff, what's the problem? Well, God, like every other retreat I've done, this is what's happened. He said, why did it happen? Because of you? No, it's because you would give me the gifts of the Spirit, or you would work in the altar moments. And then he said to me, so you can't do that stuff without me. I was like, yeah. And what do you know about me? Why would I do that? Well, God, because you actually care more about these kids than I do. You taught me that years ago. Yeah, I'm glad you recalled that, Jeff, because if I care more about the kids than you do, and that's why I allowed all that stuff to take place in past retreats, do you not think I care more about the kids in this retreat than you do? Yeah, that's a good point, Holy Spirit. I recalled that. He said, Jeff, just trust me and leave it with me. And I went into that evening service understanding something that God had taught me a long time ago, that despite what I see, what I can and can't do, that He cares more about people than I do, and He will accomplish things that are beyond the parameters that are set upon me. And those of you who are watching online, I want to say something for this COVID season. In the parameters, there's all kinds of opinions, but I want to tell you that God cares more about His church and the world than the parameters may restrict us for. That He's able to do more than we even understand in the middle of what we've been facing. That He cares more about people than we know. That's the thing we learned a long time ago, that we don't need things to be the way they always were for God to do great things. We get our understanding from what we've learned before. And do you know that night that the Holy Spirit came in and kids start to bawl as they're sitting in their seats and against the wall, and kids started coming over and praying with one another, and my mind was blown. And I remember the youth pastor walking by me with tears in his eyes, and he looked at me and he said, "Never in a million years would I have guessed this would have taken place." Yeah, well, you just need to know that the Holy Spirit cares more about kids than you do. You see, if we recall what we've learned in the past, it helps us understand what He's trying to do in the present. And that's what He's trying to say to the disciples. He asked the question, "Don't you remember?" It's not about their memory. It's about recall. It's about pulling information that they already know and building upon it like a math student, so that when you're facing the things that seem overwhelming, you simply have to go back to the things that Jesus has taught you and build off of that. I'll never forget at the end of every school year. I know kids are about to go back to school. End of every school year, I couldn't wait to get my report card. I was a good student, so I wasn't one of those people who like lost it in the sewer. And so I was super eager to get my report card, and I wanted to see two things. I wanted, first of all, to see my marks. I wanted to see how many A's I would have got. I know that sounds ridiculous, but that was just me. I was like this overachiever type of person. I wanted to see how many A's I got, so I checked that out. And then I wanted to see at the end of the year the most important thing. Because for some reason I wasn't convinced that just because I got a lot of A's that the last part was going to be there. But I wanted to see this part that would say is being sent to the next grade, or however it was worded, the recommended for the next level, next grade. I wanted to make sure that my teacher actually thought that I belonged in the next grade, that I was allowed to move on. And so every year you moved on. Some of my friends, though, I even have relatives, they didn't see that at the end of the report card. Their teacher would say to them, "Hey, you need to stay back a year." And they would have to stay back, and they would have to relearn everything that had been dispensed to them that year. And that was okay. It was okay for some of my friends. They may have struggled in math or English, but they would have to stay back and they'd have to relearn it. But friends, I remember in primary school having a couple friends like that, and you didn't look down on them. That was what they had to face. But listen, if they were 35 years old and they're sitting in a second grade classroom in one of those little chairs and trying to do their work because every year they just fail to understand, that would be very difficult on their life. And what Jesus is trying to say when He says, "Do you not understand?" is that despite how many times we come to church and how many times we open our Bible, if we keep getting left back at the same spot and never growing because it's not being revealed through our life, all we're able to do is recite what has been said, but it's not actually touching our heart and transforming who we are, then we're like the 35-year-old who's still stuck in grade 2. And God wants us to keep growing in our understanding. He wants us to refocus on the things that He's saying to us today and let it hit our hearts so it can transform our lives. He's wanting us to reconsider things from the natural to the spiritual level. What's going on in your life right now? What is the Spirit trying to say to you that's beyond what you see and what you hear? He wants you to reconsider. And lastly, He wants you to recall. And He wants you to keep building upon the things that He's taught you so that you can grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And friends, I want to tell you, some of us who've grown up in the church for years should be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We should be teaching other people. We should be out there transforming people, or being part of God's transformation of people's lives, because there should be a growth upon growth upon growth of understanding that is lived out through our lives. Christian maturity. That's what Jesus desires for you. Jesus, you ask questions for purpose. And you ask the question, do you understand? You want there to be growth, and you're expecting that it would be lived out in our lives. And God, I pray you'd forgive us for sitting in many sermons and never letting it transform our lives. Forgive us for all the times that we've read our Bible and we've just allowed it to skim across the surface of our minds. Today I'm praying that we would refocus and we would allow your word to touch our hearts, not so that we would ensure that there's no hardening that takes place, but we would allow our hearts to feel what your Spirit's trying to say to us. I pray that we would reconsider, that God, we would stop just looking at things from the natural, stop hearing things just from the natural, and we would understand that the Spirit is actually trying to teach us something and bring understanding to our lives that is spiritual. Perhaps you'll bring some light to some of the situations we're facing today. And lastly, I pray that we would recall. I pray we'd go back to some of the things that you've already taught us. And when we find ourselves in situations where we just don't understand, let the things of past teachings be the foundation for what we are to understand for the moment. Allow there to be good recall in our lives. And Jesus, as we grow, let us not just be spiritual libraries able to spew out words, but let our lives reflect transformation because of true understanding, I pray. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.